Frank Reich's new coaching situation is now with the Carolina Panthers over Steve Wilks. A bit of controversy there. We'll talk about that on the Locked On NFL podcast, but also other coaching situations. Mike McCarthy being promised is the kind of leverage from Jerry Jones that Tom Landry had over the years. Also, what's going on with the Colts? Lots of those questions. And of course, our preview and breakdown of Conference Championship Weekend right here on the Locked On NFL podcast. It's the Friday edition with Chris Carter and your boy Q. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm Chris Carter, he's your boy Q, and we are here on the Friday edition of Locked On NFL. You can find this show on every podcasting platform out there, but especially on YouTube. Like this video if you saw it on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel to get all of our daily episodes from not just Locked On NFL, but also Peacock and Williamson and that awesome show. Q, how you doing on this Friday, man?
Man, I'm doing well, man. I'm excited. It's Conference Championship weekend, right? I mean, we're going to find out who's going to be playing in Arizona February 12th, man. The Super Bowl's right around the corner. It's crazy. It's crazy that it's here already, but here we go. So excited about this upcoming weekend.
I'm excited too. But before we can get to those games, we got to talk about the coaching carousel that continues to happen in the NFL. Frank Reich got relieved of his duties from the Colts and is now head coach with the Carolina Panthers. Steve Wilks expressed some disappointment, but he's saying he's not feeling defeated about the situation. But there was a lot of turmoil about, you know, players on the team wanting Steve Wilks to stick around. He led them to, I believe, a 6-6 record after he took over for Matt Rhule. And the Carolina Panthers were competing for a playoff spot at the end of the season in a year that was pretty much lost, to this team. Throughout most of the year, you know, Baker Mayfield didn't work out, literally went to the Rams and won games for them. Sam Darnold didn't really work out, but they found ways to be a competitive team. And now they're switching to another coach who just got fired. Q, are the Panthers making a mistake here?
You know, I don't know. It's really tough to say if it's a mistake or not. Frank Reich is a really good head coach. I mean, I want to put that first and foremost. I actually thought he got a raw deal in Indy, even though, you know,
I thought he did too.
You know, I mean, he made a couple decisions. He pounded the table for Carson Wentz. Obviously, that didn't make it any better. But I think he's a good coach. So I'll say that off top. It's always tough, Chris, when you're the interim guy, because you're the interim guy, right? A lot of times that doesn't mean that you're going to end up being the guy. Like, I'm here in Las Vegas. I cover the Raiders. So Rich Bisaccia was the interim head coach for the Raiders after the whole John Gruden situation. He led them to the playoffs. And everyone in Vegas was like, Rich Bisaccia's got to be the guy. The players, Rich Bisaccia's got to be the guy. And Mark Davis said, I want a guy that's going to be the long-term guy, the guy that I believe. And look, I mean, the jury's still out. Josh McDaniels obviously didn't have a good first year with the Raiders, but I mean, it's so difficult a lot of times when you have that interim tag to get that interim tag removed. And this is the second time it's happened for Steve Wilks. I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he's shown some really good things. I just don't know, you know, I don't know how you get an owner or someone who's in the hiring process to hire you based off of what you just did and don't get caught up in the, well, maybe that was just they caught lightning in a bottle, or they had, you know, they just change of philosophy made things change. I mean, sometimes you just got to look at it and say, yeah, I think he's a really good leader of men. I think he's a really good coach. Let's go ahead and roll with him. And I think a lot of times when you get that interim title, you just don't end up being the full-time guy.
I think that it is part of the stigma that comes with it. They want to get somebody that's their own person. And oftentimes when you're an interim person, you're part of the old guard, and there's allegiances and there's promises. And like you said, like, you know, sometimes clean slate is what an organization is looking for. You know, obviously there's a lot tied to the deciding of this from David Tepper, but I do think it's going to be interesting if like Frank Reich, like this is now, you know, recycling of head coaches, and this is part of the culture that has been a major criticizing point for a lot of people about the NFL and coaching hires and the opportunities that are there for white coaches, but not, you know, black and brown coaches.
Right.
And not saying that this specifically is this moment, but now we have another instance where it's like, well, that went that way. And, you know, it's not new guys getting in there.
And it's the club.
And not that Steve Wilks himself.
It's the normal club, right? The normal guys are getting opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And really, again, like I mentioned, Frank Reich is a really good coach. What bothers me about this situation, and this is the only thing that bothers me, is the fact that the Panthers had hired his daughter already. right? They had hired her like a month ago to be in the organization in some shape or form. I think in the, I don't want to say promotions, but in like the marketing or PR staff or something like that. And now all of a sudden he's the head coach. So it's almost like it felt like the writing was on the wall already, right? And it's just, that's what kind of bothers me about the whole situation.
No, I agree with you that. And I also kind of feel bad for Steve Wilks. I mean, this man was just the sacrificial lamb for a season over with the Arizona Cardinals a few years back, worked his way back. And now we see that, hey, like he was able to make something out of nothing there. And like literally there was nothing at one point for this team. And now he's kind of looking around like, well, that sucks. And I guess I go back to the drawing board again. And this is a guy now who's been bouncing around the NFL since 2006. And, right. You know, and like he's gotten a head coaching opportunity, but it wasn't an opportunity because he was out in a year and they already knew from the jump that they weren't going to ride with it.
Right.
So I think it's just another example of how tough it can be on, you know, coaches that on trying to break the mold of the good old boys club that you're talking about there.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. And, you know, and we've said it for the longest time, man, doing this show, as ownership starts to change and philosophies start to change, that's when you start to see coaches start to change. Because no matter what rule you put in place, no matter what you try to say, what you try to do, you can't make someone hire someone that they don't want to hire, ultimately, right? And I think Steve Wilks is a hell of a coach. I think he's going to get an opportunity at some point. I know he opened up a bunch of eyes. People noticed what he did. So I think that his name is going to be in the forefront of a lot of different teams, especially that need a coach. But he was in a good position there. The other, I know I said there was only one thing that bothered me about this situation, but the other thing that did kind of bother me is that Kellen Moore, who is the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, was apparently the runner-up from between him and Frank Reich.
Ooh, now, boy.
That to me is like, wait, hold on. How is Kellen Moore, who, as the last thing you saw from Kellen Moore, was not a very good performance as an offensive coordinator against the 49ers as the Cowboys lost, and then you saw that last play of the game where Zeke got buried in the turf there in Santa Clara and whatever kind of play that was. But, yeah, Kellen Moore, it just seems like so many people have given him opportunities to be a coach, and I always felt like Jerry Jones is going to make him a head coach one day. But you know, how can he be the runner up as opposed to Steve Wilks? That was the other little side note. I mean, it's not a major thing, but it was just like, wait a minute, hold on. He's just an OC. This guy just led this same organization, this same group of players. He should at least, right, be the runner up. Not that it matters. You still don't get the job, but at least you were in high consideration.
Absolutely. But speaking of Jerry Jones, I want to get your thoughts on a comment from Mike McCarthy about his job security and what Jerry Jones has told him. We'll address that, the Colts situation, and a lot of other coaches' situation, and, of course, the conference championship weekend coming up here on the Locked On NFL podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about LinkedIn. Of course, LinkedIn is the number one place people go to look for jobs. So it's got to be the number one place if you're looking to hire people. So here's what happens. You go to LinkedIn, you can create a free job post as a small business employer in just minutes. It goes on to LinkedIn Jobs, and then you can reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people at LinkedIn Jobs. Then just add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates that you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. Terms and conditions apply. Back here on the Locked On NFL podcast, Chris Carter, your boy Q, breaking things down. Let's keep talking about this coaching situation across the league. Now, there was an interesting comment that came from Mike McCarthy on Thursday saying on an interview with USA Today that Jerry Jones has given him the green light and has told him that he wants him to be the coach there for as long as Tom Landry was for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, for those who do not know, Tom Landry coached the Cowboys from their inception in 1960 to 1988. That is 29 seasons, almost three whole decades of coaching the Dallas Cowboys. That means in the year of our Lord 2049 is the year when Mike McCarthy would be coaching the Cowboys. Q, is that a good thing considering what we've seen in the 3 years of Mike McCarthy so far?
No, I mean, it's funny. I mean, look, he'll be lucky if he's coaching past next year. He'll be he's actually lucky that he's still hired by the Cowboys, right? I mean, we've heard the rumblings forever. I used to be in Central Texas, so I covered the Cowboys like a glove for the longest. And I'll tell you right now, we've heard the rumblings for the longest that Mike McCarthy's on his way out, that Jerry Jones wants to hire Sean Payton. I really don't think Sean Payton wants the Cowboys, right? I think if Sean Payton won the Cowboys, he'd be gone already. I think Mike McCarthy would already be out and Sean Payton would be in. It's that simple, right? I mean, I think that that is Jerry's guy. If not Sean Payton, then Kellen Moore. If it's not going to be Kellen Moore, it's Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn already decided to tell all the teams that he was talking to that he was going to return to the Cowboys. There's a reason for that. Kellen Moore was the runner-up, and I say that in air quotes, for the Panthers job. There's a reason for that, right? I mean, Jerry keeps his guys close. Mike McCarthy is about one more bad timing decision or a couple more bad play calls away from being out on the block, man. He ain't going to be coaching for no long time like Tom Landry. I don't know what kind of Jerry Jones lip service that was when he said it. He must have been drinking some Johnny Walker Blue when he was saying that, you know, Hey, Mike, you know, I think that you should be around as long as Landry. I think that Landry and you have a lot in common, and you're going to coach here in Big D as long as Landry coached in Big D before I came here and fired him when I got here in Big D. And then he took another drink of his Johnny Walker Blue. So that's basically what it is right there, man. That's
ladies and gentlemen, we just had Jerry Jones on the show. That was him right there.
Chris.
That was
say Chris.
Oh God, what does Jerry Jones have to say to me?
Hey, Chris.
Oh no.
You need to tighten up that fade.
Oh, okay. Sir. Jerry Jones. Nah, I ain't taking nothing from Jerry Jones with the way that man appears on television. Please get out of here with that stuff.
That's true.
I seen his haircut.
That's true.
My fade's all right, man. What you talking about?
That's true.
Coming at my haircut here. Get out of here, Jerry Jones. You're kicked off the show. All right, welcome back, Q. How you doing, Q?
I'm good.
Can you
man.
Believe Jerry Jones coming out of a black man's haircut right here? That's just ridiculous. But in all seriousness, by the way, if Mike McCarthy were to coach until as long as Tom Landry did, he'd be 85 years old whenever he was kicking.
No disrespect, but Jerry wouldn't even be around at that point.
Right. Jerry'd be gone. It wouldn't
exactly
be his decision.
Exactly. So there's that.
But I think it shows Jerry Jones, like just along the lines of what you said about the Panthers.
Yep.
These owners have their plans.
Yep.
And they're going to stick to them. They're going to make them happen however they want to. And you know, as far as unless there's a rule that forces owners' hands into making certain decisions or takes it out of there, these things aren't going to change. And like you said, Kellen Moore seems to be the next guy in line. There's a lot of people questioning, like, why?
Right.
It seems like, and Jerry Jones has made a lot of why decisions in his time running the Dallas Cowboys, including, you know, when he let go Tom Landry. Granted, they did a great job with Jimmy Johnson, but then his feud with Jimmy Johnson led to that separation, Switzer coming in, winning a Super Bowl, but then the Cowboys tailing off. And here we go 3 decades since Johnson's left now, and the Cowboys have been disappointing, to say the least, with a lot of their chances over the last 3 decades. But let's look around the league, because I also want to talk about this Colts situation and what's going on there. We still don't, as of recording this Friday morning, we do not know what the decision is going to be, but somehow Jeff Saturday is still supposedly a legitimate contender. And listen,
he's going to get the job. I really do believe that he's going
to. You think it's actually – Jim Irsay can't be that crazy.
No, dog. I thought Jim Irsay was good. I mean, I thought that when they hired him to be the interim guy when Frank Reich got fired, I thought immediately then that, you know, Jeff Saturday is going to get this job because Jim Irsay wants him to be the coach. He's brought in, what, Rich Bisaccia to have an interview. And I hate that for Rich, because I feel like Rich really wants to be a head coach. Like I said, I know that because he was the interim guy here in Las Vegas and really wanted to be the Raiders head coach, and he got passed over. I feel like he was just an interview. He was just a box check for Jim Irsay. I feel like everyone who interviews with the Colts is just a box check. I have no doubt in my mind, and I could be wrong, and if I am, I'll come on this show and say, hey, my bad, I was wrong. But I think when it's all said and done, Jeff Saturday is going to be your next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh boy, that is
and then Jerry,
if that happens,
Jerry Jones will say, hey Jim
oh no
what do you think about what's that Saturday guy like,
you know? That'll be what he says there. But I mean, looking at the Colts situation, and this is I think kind of the epitome of the theme we're going into here.
Yeah,
Jim Irsay, there is tons of empirical evidence,
yep,
why Jeff Saturday should not be the guy.
Exactly.
And it was really funny how he won his first game as Colts head coach, and there are a lot of people saying, "Ah, yeah, Bill Cowher, what he said was stupid about Jeff Saturday." And, "Oh yeah, yeah, see, everyone was wrong for just judging and saying."
No, that
and,
was, you know, no, it's, that was the Raiders. that was the Raiders.
that wasn't just Saturday doing anything well. That was them being the Raiders.
That was the Raiders raiding it up. Yeah, that's what that was.
Oh my goodness. But you look at how this year played out. They won that game, and then they were a joke after that. Yep. They did hang in there with the Eagles, but then you lose out the rest of the season, including giving up the largest comeback in NFL history to a Minnesota Vikings team that got their butts handed to them by the Giants in the playoffs. I don't see it. I don't understand
what we're actually
doing here. If you're the Colts, if they do this, I guarantee you, like Jeff Saturday, he signs like Will Levi or whoever, Will Levis, whatever his name is, from Kentucky.
Oh yeah,
and then they're gonna be on this carousel. They're gonna stink for a lot longer, and then we'll be back here in a couple years when they're looking for another coaching hire. And who knows? Maybe Peyton Manning will be coming out of the ESPN Manning and Manning show to take over there. But it just completely stupefies me sometimes with how it's like, man, like I get organizations that have been successful, like the Patriots, like the Packers, like the Steelers. I even think over the last, 10, 15 years, the Eagles have started to show like, hey, not in the 10, 15 years, I'd say since they hired Doug Peterson, I think that they've been doing a better job at evaluating their process and how they've handled things. But when you have that system in place and it's clearly working, I get sticking with it. Like the Steelers, they may not have won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl 43, but they've been a consistent contender the whole time. They know what they trust in Mike Tomlin. And for their last three coaches have all been Super Bowl winners. For the Packers, they've found ways to kind of keep things afloat. They haven't been able to capitalize as much as like in the last two quarterbacks, but they have their process. Right. If you're a team like the Colts, where they did win a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, back in the day. But now you're in a position where you've been kind of just churning the same losing seasons for a while. You haven't been able to kind of figure things out. Frank Reich gave you some hope, and then you got rid of him before he could even kind of get a chance to fix things. And this was not a Colts team that anyone was thinking was going to be really hiring Matt Ryan was gonna actually save the day or anything like that. I think that, teams like the Colts, frankly, like the Raiders, I think if the Cowboys aren't careful, they can be in that conversation. Maybe it takes a kind of a pull out, completely reevaluation of how you as an organization function, the direction that you want to seek there, and a chance to kind of say like, hey, we need to hit some reset buttons, not just on the field, but in our front office for how we're evaluating these type of hires.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why, the Raiders are attempting to bring the Patriot way, and I say that in air quotes, the Patriot way to, Las Vegas. They got Dave Ziegler as the GM, Josh McDaniels as the head coach, got a lot of New England ties, and they look over at the most consistent team in the league, right, and the Patriots, and say, hey, we want to be similar to that. So they're trying to change their philosophies. I don't know if it's going to work, right? Only time will tell, but at least they're showing that effort, and that's something that the Colts are going to need to do. That's something that the Cowboys, they have a decent structure, but Jerry's pulling the last say at the end of the day. So I think that's a situation that's not really a good situation when you have the owner with the final call on everything, right? He's holding press conferences after games and stuff like he doesn't need to be that guy. He needs to take a step back and let his football guys do the football stuff. But that's Jerry going to be Jerry. He has a weekly radio show. I mean, that's just who he is. He can't help himself, you know, and he's got his old trusty bottle of Johnny Walker Blue that he makes a lot of decisions with, right? You know, so there's always that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I hope Steve Wilks, honestly, I hope he gets a look with the Colts, right? Maybe the Colts notice what he did
maybe.
And said, you know what, maybe we'll give him an interview and see what happens. I'm hoping that happens. And I hope I'm wrong about Jeff Saturday because I don't think he deserves to be an NFL head coach. I think there's plenty of guys out there that are deserving, way more deserving than him. I just feel like my gut feeling tells me that Jim Irsay is going to pull the trigger and hire him as a head coach. And we're going to be talking about this 2 years from now, like you said, when they get rid of him and they're looking for another guy.
I feel that way it's coming to going to a guy where he had a losing record as a high school football coach and then just goes into the broadcast.
Think about that. High school football coach to an NFL coach. Just think about how insane that sounds.
How insane that sounds. Well, I do think we're, like you said, we'll be here talking about this, and there's more coaching decisions to come. We'll see what the Colts actually decide. Who knows? Maybe they will pick someone else that will kind of surprise us.
Right.
I doubt it, but we'll find out in a bit. But all the coaching carousel things are aside. Let's talk about the teams that are going to be actually in play, and that's the conference championship weekend. We'll talk about that and giving you all the odds, the ends, the lines, everything you need to know betting-wise this weekend from our great sponsors at FanDuel. FanDuel, with the NFL playoffs here, we're excited to talk to you guys about FanDuel because they're our new sports betting partner at Locked On, and they're the number one sports book in America. That's FanDuel. New customers, if you join today, you can get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Locked On. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlays and all that action on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Football fans, don't miss out. Place your first bet for $5 to get $150 in free bets, win or lose. And again, that means if you place your $5 bet down, you can lose the bet and you're still getting that $150 when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get that special gear. Go to FanDuel today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Back here on the Locked On NFL podcast, the Friday edition with Chris Carter and your boy Q. All right, Q, it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty as far as looking to
Let's go.
He's so excited here. Let's start with
What time do the boys play?
Jerry, they aren't playing.
Say,
go back
Chris,
to your yacht.
Say,
get
Chris,
out of here.
What time do the boys play?
He's stupid.
I'm a mute. Don't throw any more picks, Dak.
Wait. I got to get your thoughts on this, too, because like you said, you've spent a lot of time in that area.
Yeah.
What did you make of the actual Dallas Cowboys Twitter account tweet that criticized Dak Prescott?
I've never seen that either. You know, most of the time when we see a team-based, you know, social media, you know, like DallasCowboys.com or Raiders.com or whatever the case may be, they're never like that cutthroat, but they're like, Dak turned the ball over twice. Cowboys were there. They could have won the game, but didn't. You know, it's like, damn. They went in, man. They kept it all the way real. Obviously, that was a little bit of upsetness. and hey, Jerry, what do you think about this? And Jerry's like, press send, put it out there. Dak, read the tweet.
Man, I'll never forget the story about how Jerry Jones was going to draft Johnny Manziel with the first round pick that they had that year. And his son, like, literally snatched the paper out of his hand.
Yep.
And he said, nope, get out of here.
Yep.
Anyways, again, let's talk about the teams that are actually competing, not the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, exactly.
But the 49ers are facing the Eagles in Philadelphia, 3:01 Eastern time. This is
the Why 3:01? Why not just 3?
I don't know. NFL is going to be weird, man.
3:01, you know, giving, okay.
Right. Just catch time. And guess what? Guess what? They're going to get all their advertisers in. We're going to hear 5 different songs.
It's like, what time do you have to be to work, Q? 9:01. What do you mean? You got to be to work at 9, dummy. Like, what is? Oh, gosh. What time are you working? 9:01 to 5:01. Get out of here.
There you go.
That's so weird.
But the Niners come into this game as 2.5-point underdogs. The Eagles, according to FanDuel, the Eagles are 2.5-point favorites. The minus 148 is the money line for the Eagles, plus 126 for the 49ers. The over-under is set at 46.5. I can go either way on the over-under here, Q, because these two teams' defenses can get after it, but these two offenses can also put up the points.
Yeah.
I think it will be a slower paced game because the Niners will try to slow it down. But I also think these two defensive fronts can get, but also I'm really impressed. These two offensive lines love to get to work. I'm going with the Eagles, and I don't care about the 2.5 points because that's close enough for a coin flip anyways. I'm going with the Eagles simply because I like a lot of the ways that these two teams will clash. There's playmakers on both sides of the ball. But I'll go with the experienced quarterback over the rookie quarterback in this situation. I know that a lot of people have probably said that about Brock Purdy in the last few weeks and been wrong. I haven't been because I've been picking the Niners to win. But I think this is the matchup where that will come back to bite them, where he makes a key mistake. And against another team that's just as talented, that could be the edge that gives the Eagles the chance. I'm picking Philly.
And by people that picked against Brock Purdy, he means Q, which is me. I did. I definitely picked against Brock Purdy against the Cowboys because I thought that defense was going to rattle him. And to my credit, it did. But Dak threw a couple interceptions, as the Dallas Cowboys social media team told you. And he couldn't hold up his end of the bargain. But this week, I'm with you. I think the Eagles, again, I think that defense is going to rattle Brock Purdy. And I believe if you look at the quarterbacks, who's the better quarterback, Jalen Hurts or Brock Purdy? And even though I respect the hell out of Brock Purdy, what he's done, he hasn't lost since he's been in action. Jalen Hurts is better. He really is. And the weapons that they have offensively are just as good as what the Niners have, but they have a better trigger man, right? I mean, you look at A.J. Brown, you look at, Devontae Smith, you look at Miles Sanders. I mean, look, you can see Christian McCaffrey. You see, got Debo Samuel. They got George Kittle. They've got weapons as well. For the Niners to win this game, they've got to do what you said at the beginning. Slow it down. They've got to run the rock a lot and keep Jalen Hurts on the sideline. I just don't think that that's going to happen. Not only do the Eagles have a good pass rush, but they have other dudes that could come in, like a Linval Joseph. They have an Ndamukong Suh, which most people don't even realize he's on the team, right? I mean, think about it. That's how deep their defensive line is, that a guy like Ndamukong Suh with that kind of name is on the bench, and people don't even realize he's even on the team, you know, just because they're so stout at that position. So I do think Philly punches their ticket to Arizona. I think they get a win. It's pretty convincing, to be 100% honest with you.
Yeah, I think so, too. And the thing is, too, is that, like, these are both really good offensive lines, and these are both very, really good defensive lines. So if you're someone like me that loves to watch trench wars in the NFL, Sunday, 3 p.m. East,
301. Chris, 301.
It's going to be a heck of a showdown. But let's go to what's basically going to be the opposite, because we're talking about the lines in this game. Then we're going to talk about the quarterbacks in the other game. Yep. FanDuel has Bengals at Chiefs. The Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites. So that means
this really damn line keeps moving, man. Like, by the time we're done with this show, the line's going to change. They're going to be like, oh, Patrick Mahomes tied his own shoe. All right, now it's the Chiefs 3-point favorites. Like, what the hell is going on? I've never seen lines move this much.
It's people panicking in the last moment, you know, because a video gets leaked of Patrick Mahomes just jogging at practice, and they're like, oh, his ankle's healed. He's going to be fine.
Right. Jesus and made him healthy. Jesus returned for Pat.
Healthy. Oh, my goodness. But yes, so even with that, Chiefs 1.5-point favorites. But always remember, the home team gets an automatic 3-point boost in that situation. So really, I see this. This game is dead even. I don't care what you're – as long as this line stays within a field goal, I'm just picking who I think is going to win. The money line is minus 124 Chiefs, plus 106 Bengals. The over-under is set at 48. I actually think the over definitely will hit in this game. And I'm going with the Bengals. I'm sorry. They're too hot right now.
All Cincinnati fans, do you hear that? Chris Carter has seen the light. Chris Carter, can you come down to the pulpit and admit to the people that you have been wrong about Cincinnati for so long? Woo-hoo! And now you are here and you are talking about Joe Burrow, talking about Zach Taylor, you are talking about Jamar Chase. Chris Carter has seen the light, Cincinnati fans. Hey.
He's going to keep going.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris. Welcome to Cincinnati.
You're Jerry Jones. Get out of here, Jerry. I know. What are you doing?
I can do them all, man. I can do them all.
After all that, who did you pick to win the Bills-Bengals game last week?
I did pick the Bills.
So, hey, Q.
I was, hey, you know what? But I've picked Cincinnati a lot more than you have as of late. But I'll tell you, man.
Hey, I picked them to win a lot of games. I brought up, hey, they hadn't lost since Halloween. And they still haven't
lost.
I know.
Halloween. But there was a time where you thought they might not even make the playoffs. You thought Pittsburgh was going to sneak in there.
I thought, whoa. I thought midseason, I was like, hey, the way that they've been losing some of these games, because going into Halloween, they lost all three of their divisional games. I said they was in trouble. After they straightened up, I was like, okay, they for real. I thought the Steelers was going to take the Ravens spot, but the Ravens were able to hold on. That's where I thought that they were.
Bengal fans know that I'm their boy.
Hey, oh yeah, sure. You're their boy after picking them to lose last week. But I think both of us are on this Bengals bandwagon to get them to the Super Bowl this week. And listen, I get the Patrick Mahomes part, that his injury to me partly seals this. But even if he was healthy, I look at the way these two teams match up. The Bengals, you know, in Pittsburgh, a lot of people talk about how the Steelers had the most expensive defense in the NFL, and they still got out of that. And that was always a thing. Whenever the Steelers gave up more than 20 points in a game, it was like, well, so much for that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, that's just natural sometimes when you're building a team with a quarterback on a rookie deal like the Bengals, who are the second most expensive defense in the NFL. And that defense shows with the whooping that they put on Josh Allen and the Bills last week. And I think that defense, it might not whoop Patrick Mahomes the same way, but they'll hold up that offense enough for Joe Burrow and his offense to get things done against this Chiefs defense. And that's where I just see them edging them out. I do think a lot of good points get put on this board, though. I do think this is a back and forth and a much more contentious game than the Bills game was. What say you here, Hugh?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think this is going to be a back and forth, but I just think Cincinnati's a better team. I really do. And it's tough to say when you're going up against a Kansas City team, but with Patrick Mahomes having a bad wheel, I don't care how healthy they think he is, he's not. You know, and then Cincinnati, they've had their way with Kansas City as of late. They got their number right now. Sometimes teams just have numbers. And Joe Burrow he's cooler than the other side of the pillow. He has a lot of confidence. Some will say it's cockiness, but it's okay. I like it, right? I like what he brings to the table. And he really, when you have a leader like that, the rest of the team, why wouldn't they believe as well, right? They see their leader out there. Hey, follow that guy. So they got something good cooking in Cincinnati, and I do believe they'll be in the Super Bowl for back-to-back years. Will they win it? That's another conversation we'll have later. But I do believe they'll be punching their ticket against into Arizona, and they'll be facing the Eagles in the Super Bowl on February 12th.
So there you have it. We both have Bengals-Eagles in the Super Bowl. I feel like it's crazy because the Bengals aren't officially the favorites, but I think a lot of people consider them that.
Right.
I feel like we're both being just major, just playing to the team that everyone's expecting to win here, not calling for an upset. And I feel like that might come to bite us with one of these matchups, and it makes me really scared about the Niners because, man, all we're going to hear if the Niners pull that off is Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy. When I'm like, man, that offensive line – Trent Williams, those guys, Mike McGlinchey, they are whooping tail every single week.
McGlinchey got thrown, man. Michael Parsons threw McGlinchey last
Michael
week.
Parsons threw him. Yes, he did.
He made him look like a rag doll.
On that play, but that offensive line has dominated way too many teams this year, and I think doesn't get nearly enough credit for what they've been doing and what
they're a really good team, man. It's just Philadelphia's better. I mean, it's just straight up, they're better. It doesn't get any better than that. They're just better.
I think it should be really scary for teams that the Eagles were so hot coming out of their bye week after Jalen Hurts missed so much time. If they're that good, you know, just coming out of the bye and kind of getting that, how good are they now that they're getting a chance to pick up steam? I'm really looking forward to this weekend. But we'll see how that plays out. Get all the odds, the ends, the lines from FanDuel Sportsbook. Place bets there. Make some money on what's going to happen. Hey, follow our picks. Maybe you will make some money here on this football weekend. Q, thanks again for doing the Friday episode of the Locked On NFL podcast with me. It's always great to have you as a co-host on this show. And we're so grateful also for Jerry Jones making multiple appearances on today's show. Shout out to the Cowboys owner for taking some time out to join the Locked On NFL podcast. But Q, let people that can find you, follow you, and get more of your work and your impressions.
You can find Q on Twitter your boy Q, your boy Q 254. That is a Central Texas area code. At your boy Q 254. Locked On Raiders. Locked On Bets. Locked On NFL. Locked On Oh no, that's something else. Never mind. All right, Chris, where can they find you at?
What were you about to say?
Nothing.
You can find me, Chris Carter, at Locked On Steelers, where I cover the Steelers just like Q covers the Raiders every single day, Monday through Friday, your team every day, breaking things down just like we do here on the Locked On NFL podcast, all podcasting platforms, and especially on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to all of our YouTube channels if you're a Raiders fan, Steelers fan, or an NFL fan to get all of our daily content from here. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can also read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where I cover all things Pitt Athletics. If you're one of those Eagles fans out there and you saw Mel Kiper's draft board, they had them taking Pitt's defensive tackle, Kalijah Kansas. We've done a lot of studies on him over the year. If you want to check that out, go over to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com, to see my work on him. Thanks again, Q, for joining me. We'll be back next Friday breaking things down. What happened conference championship weekend, and probably talking some Senior Bowl action. It's going to be a lot. We'll see you then.